I thought I'd show that you hear about the vine and the branches, and it's a little hard sometimes in our modern society to just think of vineyards and grapes and things like they were talking about. These are a lot of symbolism in the Bible, but I thought that was a little more contemporary. You can see with the power strip. And incidentally, that's how we do things here at Living Well. We usually plug, it might be a little bit of an OSHA or fire hazard, but we plug about 900 things into one outlet and run it. And when something happens, we wait till something happens, and then we go looking for other power sources. But we've been pretty good. We haven't started any fires yet. That's what we're talking about. But no, we've done pretty good. So today, we're kind of going off of, let's get plugged in, just like you're plugged in there. Today we're going off of a little bit of what John did last week. It comes off the end of it. Remember he talked about grace last week? It was giving, reliability, availability, and engagement. It was an acronym, GRACE. So we're going off, this is coming off the engagement part. Staying part of the vine, staying connected to Christ. Because as it said in that there, you can't do anything without it. Nothing matters. So we have our thrive picture up there. There's more to life than just surviving or to thrive. We all like to move forward. No one likes to sit where they're at. I mean, even a rich man, if you ask him how much money is enough, he's going to say a little bit more. But I know I'm using that loosely, but we all want to move forward. We all want to improve, keep moving. We don't want to regress or stagnate. The same thing spiritually. If you've become a born-again Christian, if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in. You're gold. But you don't want to just sit there. You don't want to just do nothing or even stagnate. We are still full of old habits, old things that happen, which we need to overcome. So, men, we all want to be men of honor. Ladies, I tried to think of an M. I came up with maid of honor. But that sounds like a wedding. But we all want to be people of honor, to stand for what's right, stand for truth. We don't want to have to, I mean, sin causes such a mess. There's so much negativity to deal with, even if it goes to police actions or courts or, you know, not judging, but that stuff does happen out there in the world. We don't want to have to fight through that. I would rather go to my grave fighting for what's right, standing for truth, than I would to have to fight even a little bit over sin that I've created, the mess that I've created. I would rather, as I said, go to my grave fighting for what's right, fighting for truth, because might makes right, right makes might, as I say. So I would much rather do that. So today we're talking about thriving. There's a term called failure to thrive. I don't know if it can be a very distressing thing, especially if a parent has a child that has failed to thrive or is in that state. It is a very, very alarming thing. And a failure to thrive involves a decelerated or arrested growth or a downwards change in growth. That's what happens as Christians when we become born-again Christians, or even non-Christians are still, they're not growing as they should be, non-Christians, obviously. But even if you started out, you plugged into Christ, accepted Him as your Savior, you can stay right there. You can even decelerate in any growth. You can even stagnate in growth a bit. Doesn't mean your salvation isn't secure, but you can. There is a term for an example called a carnal Christian. It still uses the term Christian in there. They're still a Christian. But they're very fleshly-minded, worldly-minded. They're not giving up the old habits. So today we're going to look at this thriving thing. Our root verse is John 15:4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. I might have a little different version. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So, that is our core verse. Let's look at what was going on when Christ was talking about that. The life of our Lord in John 15. It's a Thursday night. They're in the upper room. They're involved in the Last Supper. They're celebrating the Passover. This is the night He is celebrating this before He is crucified. He's with His disciples. And on that night, He gives many, many promises to everyone there. They start in chapter 13 and run all the way through chapter 16. And then in 17, He does something very unique. He prays a prayer to the Father, Father God, that God will fulfill all of the promises that He's made in the previous chapters. Now this is very significant. It's incomparable. It's an unparalleled section of Scripture. There's nothing like it anywhere else in the Bible, because it's absolutely loaded with promises to us, to the church, to Christians, people who are going to believe after he is killed. That's us. He's asking God to fulfill all those promises for us, but we have to remain in the vine to do so. Now, as it comes to chapter 15, the drama of Judas has already played out. He said, someone's going to betray me, and everyone said, is it me? Look, am I the one? So Judas ends up identified, and he dismisses him, remember, to go do what he has to do quickly. Jesus was in control of everything, always has been. So he dismissed him to go do what he had to do, or what he had decided to do. He's gone out, Judas has, to set the details for the betrayal of Jesus, that he's going to betray him with a kiss. Of course, the arrest of Jesus is in the middle of the night, and that leads to the execution of Jesus on the cross the next day. Now the 11 are left. They remain in the vine. One defected. One fell away. One didn't abide. It's a massive defection. Massive. Judas is the branch that didn't stay. He's the branch that didn't remain. He didn't thrive. He had a decelerated, arrested growth. He even went backwards. That's exactly what can happen as Christians, even, if we don't stay in the vine. I know I'm coming down like thunder for a moment, but it is very serious, and I am not the judge. There's one before me who judges. I'm just saying what the Bible says. I always bring it back to Scripture. Never take my word for it. Always go back to the Bible. That's not the Bill Young Show or what Bill says, the Bilbo Show. So it's all about Scripture. So if we look on screen at John 15, 1 through 8, I like to look at Scriptures in their context also. It is nice to look at individual verses. There's a lot of power in it. A lot of times you can help you defeat temptation. If you're being tempted by something, or, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, you can quote one verse. But this is nice sometimes when you're in a lesson. That's kind of what we're at today. We're kind of in a lesson format, like a small groups. But I like to look at the verse in its context. So 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Same thing as Christians. You're already clean. You've obtained your salvation. But the rest of this is still important. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That is a very meaty set of verses right there. In 14:6, just ahead of this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when he says, I am the true vine, that's what he's talking about. He's the way. He's the Messiah. That declaration right there, anyone that studies the Bible knows what he means by that. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's look at this falling away from the vine today. Like I say, I don't want to come down on everybody. I always seem like I get up here and John gives me the stuff, and I always come up here. It's like playing bad cop and good cop. So he's away, you know, and he comes back, he'll be good cop. God bless you, John. Okay, here we go. You know, already. I'm going to use an example of a tree, because once again, we don't have a lot of vineyards around here in Dixon. We're not a big wine-producing country here in the Midwest. But you see trees almost everywhere. You can look out a window when you drive down the street. Unless you stay in a cubicle all day and never leave it, you're going to see a tree during the day. So I'm going to use a tree for a reference, for symbolism today. Now, it talks about falling away from the vine. So first off, we're going to talk about what happens when a tree is cut down. When it's cut from the base, cut from the vine, what happens first? Now, a lot of people will say it dies. It starts the process of dying. And that's true. It does immediately. It's cut from the life-giving source, cut from part of it that it needs. But what happens first is that thing falls. And it falls out of control. It can't control itself. If you're falling away from the vine, if you're not remaining in the vine, the first thing you do is you start a process of falling. It can be very damaging. That tree, when it falls, can break off parts of itself. If it falls on another structure, it can wreck that structure. We've all seen storm damage. The same thing happens to Christians. If you're in your family, things are starting to get a little heated, for an example, a little difference of opinion. If this starts getting out of hand, you start falling away from the vine, damage can occur. You can say things, and my buddies like to call it damage control. You have to go back later and do damage control. But it's hard sometimes with those sin ripples that we put out and put into effect to actually go knock those down. It takes divinity to knock down those sin ripples. As a human being, it's next to impossible to knock down the sin ripples that you've created. So as soon as you start to fall away from the vine, damage is likely to occur. Now, praise the Lord, it's usually not life-ending damage, because a tree, if it falls on something else that's living, can kill it. And it depends upon how far away you fall from the vine and in what direction, what tools you have at your disposal at the time. There are a lot of variables. But generally, it doesn't involve a life-ending thing. It involves sin ripples, to be sure. But praise the Lord, with His grace, it doesn't involve that. But there is definite damage that's done. Of course, a difference in opinion, I use that. That can lead to an argument, lead to a heated battle, can even lead to physical confrontation. When you start to fall away, it goes all the way to the crash, if you let it. It goes all the way to the crash. So be careful about this. Be careful about taking offense, since I use that example. As Christians, we can take offense at almost anything at times. Anyone can. But we can be in here one moment saying the hallelujahs, and the next moment go outside and almost get run over by your fine brother or sister Christian. So be very careful about taking offense, because that can lead to an internal dialogue that isn't healthy, which can lead to resentment, and then again cause you to act out. And plus, I wrote on here, it's kind of strong, but it says your mind can become Satan's playground. So another thing to think about with that falling tree, falling away from the vine, is the acronym HALT. Put that up there. Some of you have probably seen this before. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that's when it's time to really take heed. And some even mix the two. You can have hangry, hungry and angry mixed. So you probably heard of that, I'm hangry. So if you're any of those, be very careful. Of course, Eve, all the way at the beginning, she wasn't lonely, but she was alone, which could be loosely put into lonely, by yourself. And that's why Christ sent the disciples out two by two, because they could keep each other in check, watch over each other, protect each other. But if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, be very wary that you don't become Satan's plaything. You know, just fall away from the vine and then have all kinds of damage control to do, as my buddies say. Now I'm going to ask you, once that tree falls and hits, the damage has become apparent, can that tree reattach itself? No. Unless you belong in a world of physics that we know it doesn't apply. No. Be a Scotty meter. It cannot reattach itself. It would take an outside force, and even then, if the tree inside has a xylem and phloem and all the different channels, I don't get into all that biological stuff. But it's next to impossible for that thing to reattach, reroute, and somebody might be a gardener with a green thumb, might argue differently. Maybe they've done, you know, the next to impossible, but in general, that thing's not going to pop itself back up there and reattach itself. The same thing happens as Christians. You start to fall away from that vine, and you need to pray immediately. It takes an outside force to arrest your fall and reattach you. You don't have spiritual or human super glue that you can use to just go stick yourself at will back to Christ, where that would almost be too much control, and I'm sure he wouldn't give that up. Where you could go be attached, step away for a little bit, mess up, but knowing that you got your tube, put yourself back on, reattach. It just doesn't work that way. So if you notice you're starting to separate, prayer should be the first thing you do. You should either disengage whatever's tempting you, whatever situation you're in, disengage. If you can, literally take a step back. If you cannot, at least mentally disengage. You need to pray. And it doesn't have to be a huge, drawn-out thing. Just say, Jesus, help me. Or one-word prayer, Jesus. Reattach. You got to get back in. Because you'll find what you need to say. You'll find the energy. You'll find the power. Whatever you need at that moment, it's in that vine. And you need to reattach. So disengage with your present issue, and then re-engage with Christ. Yeah, it's something you can't even mess with. If you start to notice you're disengaging, don't do that, I'll do it later kind of thing. The best thing to do is say, for an example, if you're driving down the road and you hit a massive pothole, I mean, you hit a real ringer, and all of a sudden your car's going, usually you don't keep driving down the road. Usually you get out, you see what happened, you assess the damage. If you blew your tire, I mean, you're not going to keep driving down the road on that thing. Same thing if you've noticed you're disengaging from the vine. Don't try to just keep rolling down the road with something rattling like crazy. Get out, assess the damage, disengage, pray, get reattached. Now, once this tree, here we get to the dying part, this tree has fallen now. It cannot reattach itself. It immediately begins a process of dying. And in the Bible, it says, you have the choice, death or life. What do you choose? Choose life. It's the same thing here. If it's not on there living, there's no in-between. It's not a little ghost tree. It falls down and starts dying. It will never again produce anything. Anything beautiful, anything useful, in and of itself. It won't produce anything ever again. That's where Christ says, you can do nothing without me. You can't produce anything decent. You can't produce. So once that tree starts dying, never again is it going to be that tree with the leaves and the chlorophyll or anything that's going on with it. And also, I would add, that tree can never again do anything for itself. It has no more abilities. It'll never grow, never extend, never reach towards the sunlight. It's done. It can never do another thing for itself. It's final. It's doomed to stay in place unless something else comes in, you know, to mess with it, storms or people or anything else. But it's tossed about by other forces. So again, here's the part where it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then the other last and very sobering fact, and I use this tree, I'm not aspiring to be a lumberjack or anything like that. He keeps talking about trees. And it's just, I'm trying to use an example here. Don't stop talking about trees. So that tree can only be used by others. And once again, it can never do anything positive for itself. This is a very serious and sobering fact. If you, as a Christian, start to fall away from the vine, you can only be used by others. I'll let that sit for a second. You can only be used at that point. When you fall away, I don't want to use that term again, Satan's playground. But once you've fallen away from the true power, from the vine, you're no longer, God's not in control of you. He's ultimately in control of everything. But you're not allowing his control. You're saying, I got it from here. I can do this. And nothing good's going to happen at that point. You can only be used by others. That tree can only be used as wood, as homes for other animals to burrow in and dig into. It can't be used by anything but something else. It can't do anything for itself. So you have to abide in Christ for anything positive to happen. So how do we abide in Christ? That's the million-dollar question now. You've seen, I've thrown the rocks. They call it the stick and the carrot. I've used the stick, showing you what can happen with the tree. And I didn't mean a pun by that. I didn't realize. But the stick is usually what drives you away from something, and the carrot pulls you towards. You go towards it. So how do we abide in Christ? Well, first, our union in the Lord depends upon his grace. But he is full of grace. I mean, he will give it All you have to do is ask. But it depends upon His grace, and it's there, my friends. It's by His word that He guarantees that He'll take us back. Just like the prodigal son who went out and the dad was watching. I don't know if you remember that story. Some of you might, some might not. But his son asked for his inheritance and left and squandered it. Remember? And then was like rolling around with the pigs and decided that wasn't the life he wanted to lead, that he remembered his dad, even the servants, got good food, were taken care of. So he said, I'm going to go back and ask if I can just work for him. So he, remember, came back. And when he was rehearsing what he was going to say as he come up on the horizon, and there was his dad. He'd been standing out there day after day looking on the road on the horizon, waiting for his son. Christ is like that. He's way, as soon as you start to fall away, he's right there. He didn't move. So first, it depends upon his grace, and his grace is there. Second, it's listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does talk, it does move. But sometimes we can get so used to trying to do things our way, we kind of tune it out enough, it starts to get quieter and quieter. You don't hear it quite as loudly. But the Spirit is always there. It's always guiding. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are spiritually alive. And that Spirit is there. So listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what it says, being obedient. So abiding involves our response to the proddings and the teachings of the Spirit and Jesus. So, and that in a nutshell means we allow the Spirit and His words to fill our minds, direct our feet, direct our wills, and transform our affections. We get more affectionate towards Christ as time goes on. So in a nutshell, and of course, reading your Bible every day helps with this, helps you grow in Christ. But in a nutshell, we end up playing what is called, or living out what is called, a spiritual Simon Says. We learned this game as a kid. Simon Says, raise your right hand. So from your side, it would be this one. It's my left. But Simon Says, raise your right hand. Remember, you don't do it unless Simon says. Simon says, raise your other hand. You do it. And then they say, touch your nose. Oh, Simon didn't say. So remember that? Simon didn't say, touch your nose, so you don't. Well, the same thing goes with you spiritually. If the Spirit says, do this, you do it. If it says, don't do this, you don't do it. I mean, you stay connected. It's really, and I know it's like, Bill, it can't be that simple. It really is. But usually our big butts get in the way. I would, but, you know, I'm angry right now. Or I would, but. So usually that's what happens. But the truth is, it's quite that simple. Just staying connected is just doing. And of course, reading the Bible helps. There are other factors that help with all of this. But being obedient, because Christ says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And that's the outward, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where you show the world that you truly love Jesus, is you obey him. You obey the Spirit. That's where the rubber hits the road. So the Spirit says, do this, do it. It can be uncomfortable, but you don't have to know everything. We're only human. We don't know everything. But if the Spirit tells you to go up to that person or to utter something, and you might right away, as Moses did, Moses used to, you know, it said that he couldn't speak very well and he used excuses with the Lord. Your big butts might start to get in the way. And I'm not judging, you know, you don't really have that big of butts, but I'm just saying. Your big butts might get in the way. Don't let it. You don't have to know how it's going to turn out. He'll give you the next step. Just like when you're driving down the road at night, you can't see 10 miles down the road where your destination is. You can't see 10 miles down the road where your destination is. You can only see, you've heard this analogy, as far as the headlights. But you keep going because you can see that far. You're running in track. Just keep running. Go around the curve. Keep going. Of course, if you're in stock car racing, that's all they do anyway, or the racing. Round and round. But the truth of the matter is, just, you don't have to see the whole picture. So if God says, go over there and talk to that person, you say, well, Simon said, the Spirit said, walk over there. Hi, what's going on? How you doing today? Or I can see you, looks like you need help with that. Anything. Don't, because I know life is messy, and a lot of times we don't like to get involved in a lot of things, but the Lord will not ask you to do more than you can do. If he called you to it, he's going to bring you through it, as they say. Have to be a poet. But now, on the other hand, we just talked about schooling our tongues today in small groups, the power of the tongue. If the Lord says, don't do this, or somebody's talking and you think, oh, I can say this, and the Spirit says, don't do it. Don't do it. I've been that guy where you run right past, you know, the line's drawn right here. The Spirit says, there it is. And I go, and run right past it. And that usually doesn't end good. That's usually, you don't make a lot of friends that day or something other happens. But in a nutshell, abiding in the Spirit is just following, doing a spiritual Simon says, what the Spirit says, just go ahead and do it. Just follow. Don't even ask. On John 15, 7 through 8, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now in chapter 13, verse 1, it says that having loved his own, who are in the world, he loved them to the fullest. Jesus' love has no measure. We, as human beings, we can't measure it. It's infinite. Our God's love is infinite. It's stunning, it's perfect, it's unconditional, it's sovereign, and that we love him because he first loved us. Everything starts with him, just as the vine. Everything starts with the vine and with Christ. His love is unfailing, it's eternal, it's sacrificial, as we've seen. It's gracious and merciful. It is generous, lavish, and it is unbreakable. Romans 8 says, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, his love is lavishly poured out on us. And again, it's connected to our obedience, too. He will love us unconditionally. He loves you whether you're fallen or saved. He loves you whether you, the Spirit said, do this, and you did it, or you didn't. Follow the Spirit. He loves you, but it is connected to our obedience, his blessings. He will pour out blessings upon people who stay connected, and he blesses, even though you don't deserve it, because we can't always stay connected to the vine, but he pours out blessings on people who abide. Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father, and the Father poured out perfect divine love on him. He was able to take everything he had to take, even going all the way to the cross. And it said, even if the people wouldn't have crucified him, he would have commanded the rocks to drive the nails. That's how much he loved us. So it's nice to know that that much love is connected to the vine as Christians. That it's not an unpleasurable thing. And not that we're just reward-based. We want to do it because we love Jesus and love what he did for us. But there's a lot of reward in it. So let's not forget that God calls us family. He calls us friends. We are his beloved. We are also called righteous, holy, sanctified, and pure. We don't deserve any of that, but Christ's robe of righteousness has been put on us. And we can boldly approach the throne when we couldn't before. Because before, well, God cannot look upon sin, but before the sacrifice, we couldn't boldly approach the throne, but now we can. So this is not by anything we could have ever done, but because of what our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. Now we are to abide in Christ and remain in him, and apart from him we can do nothing. As Steve and I were talking earlier, when Jesus came in the door right now, it's a living well, everybody here, why should I let you in heaven? Why should I let you in the pearly gates? If you can say anything but point right back at him, then you're wrong. And as Steve and I were talking, you're dead wrong. And I'm not mixing words, I'm talking spiritually. You're dead wrong. I didn't stutter. You can say anything other than Jesus, what you did on the cross, it's wrong. So we are to remain in him. This is by nothing we've done. The power, and thank God the power is all in him, because we would mess that up. If any one of you guys, if it depended upon any one of you guys, the salvation and all that other stuff, me included, I would build it up. I would mess it up. So, thank God it is not dependent upon us. anything we could have done. It's only by Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So anybody that hasn't accepted Christ as their personal Savior, same thing online, and anyone that listens afterwards, I would, that is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, to choose to follow Christ, because sin, the wages of sin are death. And it says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. It doesn't say everyone except this person. It says all of us. So I would recommend that you develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once you've done that, my fellow brothers and sisters, to remain in the vine. You have to keep growing. You don't want to be stunted. You don't want a failure to thrive. You have to keep growing. Because if we don't remain in the vine, our growth is stunted. Even reverse, you can regress. And then we can bring harm and carnage to ourselves and other people that we love. But when we run back to Christ, he'll take us every time. I have been the person of one more last chance so many times. He's got to be tired of hearing that from Billy Young. God, one more. Now, this is it for sure. I got it this time. This is the last time. I mean, but he's taking me back every time. And I know I don't deserve it. It's very humbling. But he is the God of one more last chance. Yeah, and he has the super glue. And he'll stick you right back to the vine. And you'll just move forward. Things will work out. Sin ripples that you've caused will come down. I mean, you will just do tremendously well. You and your loved ones. But you have to remain in the vine. So the choice is yours. Abide or avoid. You're going to abide in the vine, you're going to let yourself off of it, avoid it. You're going to remain in the vine or reject the vine. The choice is yours. I'm going to go ahead and show a video shortly. I'll pray first, and we'll have the worship team come back up. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all your provisions. Thank you for being here in this nice place. Thank you for the traveling mercies you gave us coming here and leaving. But most of all, thank you for your only begotten Son who died for us on the cross. Thank you for the vine. Thank you for being the gardener, the one who trims it. Trim away that which doesn't please you, Lord. Help us to become more and more like your Son all the time, every day, every moment. Even the smallest of moments can carry a lot of weight, Lord. So Jesus, we ask this week that you would be with us. Be loud and strong in our ears. We can really mess it up at times, Jesus. I'm not making excuses, but there are times we don't listen like we should. So please, please make it unmistakable. Make it loud in our ears, loud and strong. The yes when you want us to do, and no to that which you don't want us to do. And help us with the conviction and self-discipline and courage to follow. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Dear God, once again, thank you for your Son. Thank you for that little bit of instruction you gave us today. We know it's just a part of you, Lord. But please help us to apply it. As we said in small groups, sometimes that can be the biggest distance, the distance between our head and our heart. So please, Lord, help us to get this, as we heard it today, through our heads and into our hearts and apply it. Thank you once again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
you guys stand and sing one more time with us? peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. You guys have a good week. God bless. Thanks for coming. We're dismissed.